You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Now it's time to hear from the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez March.
The crisis growing at the pump is ramping up in seriousness as the conflict in Iran continues to escalate. This week saw US President Donald Trump make further threats to destroy Iran's energy infrastructure that is yet to be bombed, and in turn Iran continues to target Gulf states and block the Strait of Hormuz, preventing any exports from this critical global hub. This blockade is preventing over a third of the world's nitrogen fertilizers and a fifth of the global supply of oil and liquefied natural gas from leaving the region, while both sides' bombing campaigns are causing widespread destruction to infrastructure, which means we may not see a return of some oil and gas fields for years to come. In Aotearoa, the costs of fuel have been seeing steep rises, soon to be spread across the economy as everyone's back pocket is hit and attention is now being turned to fuel reserves, with fears we may see imports decline. To face the moment, the Green Party has put together a collection of proposals which they have sent in an official letter to the National Party, and between the two parties, they'd have enough votes to pass these proposals. They include support payments for those vulnerable to price increases and public transport subsidies to conserve fuel, and windfall taxes on monopolies that are profiting from these times and cuts to criticised infrastructure projects. For our weekly catch-up with the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez March, we dug into this letter, their proposals, and why the Greens are reaching out to the Nats. Good morning, Ricardo.
Morena.
I want to start our conversation today by talking about a letter that the Green Party has sent to the National Party proposing a raft of changes that we could be making in this current moment to address the crisis coming from Iran. Could I get you to introduce our listeners to what it's doing? What is it offering to the National Party?
The Green Party acknowledges that right now people need support, and people who are already struggling to make ends meet or were living week to week are some of the hardest hit by the increase in fuel prices and prices overall, which is why we wrote to the National Party to offer our votes for them to be able to pass through support packages that would reduce our reliance on fossil fuels, but would also give income support effectively to those who need it the most. This would include having free public transport, at least for a temporary period, to offer basically cash in hand support to cover the increased cost in fuels to those who need it, so families who earn the median wage or less, and also to support moves to reduce our reliance on fossil fuels. These are measures that will support families on a weekly basis, but we'll also incentivize and support people to have alternatives to get around. We also acknowledge that rural communities and disabled people are particularly hard hit, so this is why we also supported them to offer our votes to basically reverse the cuts to the total mobility scheme, as well as offer support for transport routes in rural areas so that people can be supported and, you know, take buses should they need to take their kids to school and to or to work, etc.
Right, so a big focus on public transport and also income support. I want to ask off the bat how serious of an offer this really is. Do you feel like it's one that you feel the National Party is likely to take you up on, or was likely to take you up on, or was it more trying to say the Green Party is open for business, we're open to collaborate?
We're extremely serious about these proposals, and this is why we are going as far as to offer our votes to pass any legislation or support packages on a sort of emergency budget on this issue. Because right now, I would expect that we all should be looking at evidence-based solutions that will help those hardest hit. And I acknowledge that free public transport needs to also be met with an increase in frequency. But right now, these are some of the measures that we know will better support people. And public transport, as an example, is something that will particularly take the burden off rural communities, because a lot of our fuel use happens in our urban areas. And so the more we can support people in urban areas to take public transport in an affordable and frequent way, the more our rural communities also will be supported by us in urban communities using less fuel effectively. And so we hope that the National Party listens to this, but takes heed of a call and actually takes our offer, because we know that parties like the ACT Party are very unlikely to be supporting any measures that affect those hardest hit by the cost of living crisis.
Now, within the proposed measures was also proposals about how this could be funded. Could you speak a little bit about that?
That's correct. So one of the things that we've offered the government is for them to basically put an excess profit tax on big corporates that are continuing to make huge profits at the expense of everybody else. We've previously been calling for an excess profit tax on the likes of the supermarkets, for example, and this would be a good way to redistribute funds to those who need it the most. The National Party has long acknowledged that the duopoly and other corporations are making effectively excessive profits, and they're not, you know, they're losing the social license, which is why we think this is one intervention that we could put in place to channel support to those who need it the most. And I want to be clear that this does not take away from our ultimate fight for us to have a green-lit government come the election. But I think right now people want us to be collaborative as we have a fuel crisis happening, and that will exacerbate the cost of living crisis. And I think it is time for us to hit pause a bit on on the more partisan politics and actually try and work collaboratively to do things that we know work.
One of the other things I saw within the letter was a proposal to scrap or put on hold for now and move the budget away from a few of the roading infrastructure projects that the National Party has proposed and that the Green Party has been opposed to.
This is just simple fiscal responsibility. The reality is that this infrastructure projects the government is funding are extremely expensive, particularly per kilometre. And we've long said that if we wanted to build modern transport infrastructure that also makes us more fuel efficient, that there are better ways to do this. And investment in things like rail are actually far more economically viable. They help us reduce our reliance on fuel and make us more productive when it comes to the transport of goods as well. So we think that these projects could be put basically on hold or cancelled and redistribute that resource towards actually helping people get through this fuel crisis. Ultimately, what we need is a government that takes fuel efficiency seriously, that takes issues around reducing our reliance on fossil fuels seriously, and invests in modern infrastructure like rail to a degree that we have not seen before, because we're now facing the consequences of not having adequate rail infrastructure.
Now, the National Party has made a few changes, a few measures recently to try to address the crisis. Could you talk about how you and the Green Party are viewing those?
The increase to the in-work tax credit, which is what the government has announced, leaves behind young people with no children. It leaves behind parents with children who may be on income support and may be caring, for example, for disabled children. It leaves out disabled people on the support of living payment, some of our hardest hits by the fuel crisis, which is why, while, of course, it's better than nothing, I think this government isn't actually doing targeted support to those who need it the most. We're talking about families that are being left out, that we're already struggling to make ends meet, which is why we go back to our call to actually put in place solutions that support people in poverty, but also, you know, the people, you know, the other commentators would have called it the squeeze middle. We can do both. There is enough in Aotearoa to support people in poverty and people who may be eligible for working for families. And we're really concerned that, for example, this package leaves out the 400,000 plus people who are relying on income support. And we think that this is wrong, particularly at a time of high unemployment, particularly high youth unemployment.
So they have given some tax breaks to some people, but not to these people that you feel are particularly vulnerable.
Well, the only people who will have these tax breaks are people who are eligible for the Working for Families package. And what that means is that you've got to be a parent who is in paid employment. Now, of course, parents in paid employment deserve a lot of support. But our point is that this leaves out a lot of parents who are not eligible for the Working for Families package. It leaves out young people who may be facing high youth unemployment and maybe struggling to get jobs and applying for countless of jobs to begin with. And if we leave out those most affected by the cost of living crisis, we're effectively heading down the way of increasing inequality as a result of our response to this fuel crisis. It doesn't have to be this way. There is enough in Aotearoa to support everyone to be well while we handle this crisis. And this is why we're critical of the government's approach, which leaves out our poorest and everyday working people that may not be eligible for working families, which is the vast majority of the population.
As we wrap up our conversation today, Ricardo, I just want to talk about the crisis itself. We've been talking about the solutions that we might need to put forward to support Kiwis. How serious of a crisis do you feel like this is? And, you know, what could happen if we do not put in measures like this?
We should be working towards the best outcome, but preparing for the worst possible situation, which is why this government needs to act with far more urgency to put in support for low-income people, to actually start redirecting investment into projects like rail. And I am particularly concerned by the carelessness and lack of care for human life that Israel and the United States are showing. And that is costing the global economy. It's costing livelihoods. It's heading down a path of completely disrespecting international rules-based order. And I am particularly concerned that our government is asleep at the wheel and not taking this crisis with the severity that we should. Because at the end of the day, this represents a geopolitical challenge. It represents a challenge on how New Zealand chooses to align itself to the United States as they continue disregarding international rules-based orders. And it poses a challenge domestically when it comes to an increase in inequality, an increase in homelessness, an increase in unemployment that will be felt particularly hard in countries like ours that have become more reliant on fossil fuels as a result of government decisions. So we should take this crisis extremely seriously. And I know that everyday people are feeling anxious about this, which is why we're committed to putting in place solutions that actually support those hardest hit, but also puts in place infrastructure that actually makes us less reliant on fossil fuels.
All right. Well, thank you for joining me this morning, Ricardo.
Thank you very much.
That was the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez March on the letter the Green Party sent to the National Party on collaborating over the cost of living pressures from the Iran crisis.
That was the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez March.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.